up, everybody? Welcome back to the Active Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Sean Pastuch, and I'm your host. Today's guest is Jason Kalipa. The man needs absolutely no introduction, especially if you're in the CrossFit space. But for those of you who don't know, in 2008, Jason Kalipa won the CrossFit Games. Fittest man on earth. Since then, he has been not only competing as a competitive athlete in the space of CrossFit, but he has been building an empire. 20 plus NC Fit gyms now are all over the world in multiple countries, in multiple companies, as many of them are corporate wellness facilities. Jason has taken his skills to teaching business owners how to maximize their potential by teaching them things like what the coach's role is, what the business owner's role is, who should be a business owner and who should be a coach. He talks about what he calls the AMRAP mentality, which is a book that he has coming out that actually by now it's already out. But this book talks about how to be present in the moment all the time, how to schedule your day in such a way that everything that you do can be totally, totally immersively present for you. The only thing you're thinking about is what you're in that moment. And it's interesting. I mean, when you hear about the way that he envisions this mentality through this podcast, you're going to be impressed and you're going to understand why the guy's been successful at literally every single thing he's ever done. Jason talks about the impact that having his daughter, Ava, diagnosed with, thank goodness, a treatable form of leukemia, impacted him and his wife, their relationship, his business relationships, everything in his life. How it made him want to go all in on being a family man and a businessman and take his foot out of the competitive fitness ring. This is really an interesting podcast that spreads across a bunch of different landscapes because of Jason's ability to so quickly get to the point and land a tactical blow to help you do a better job at whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. I know you're going to enjoy this podcast. There's a reason why he's so sought after. And I was just thrilled to be able to get Jason on this podcast today. And I know that you guys are going to get some great stuff out of it. So I'm not going to keep you any longer. Let's get you to Jason Kalipa. But actually, one little thing here. Remember, if you're enjoying this podcast, if you're getting value from it, please share it with somebody. Leave us a review. A 5-star rating would be amazing. We want to hear what you think is great about the show. Yeah, make me feel good. Help us find more people. Put it out there into the universe. I appreciate it. Here we go, Jason Kalipa. So, Jason Kalipa, welcome to the Active Life Podcast. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. You're one of the guys, anyone who's done CrossFit as an athlete or as a competitive person or as a coach since 2010, like I have, has probably heard your name at least once or twice.
Yeah, maybe once or twice. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
once or twice,
I've been
for sure.
For a very long time.
Yeah, I remember when I went to the games the first time. I think it was 2013, and you guys had a booth. And I was like, "Wow, guy's got a he's competing at the games, and his gym has a booth at the games." That's pretty
cool.
We
killed it that year at the games. That was great. I mean, we sold a lot of t-shirts because we had a team there and we had me and Garrett competing. So that was a good year for us.
That was a really high quality year for you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm interested on this show. I mean, anyone who wants to hear anything that you've done can tune into anybody's podcast. You've been on Timothy Ferris's podcast. You've been all over the place. You have multiple different places where people can find you, and we'll get to that also. But I would love to dive into some really specific stuff for people that can be valuable for them that they can take from this podcast and push forward instead of just having it be a fanboy podcast.
Sure.
So you spent you won the CrossFit Games in what, 2008?
I won the games in 2008 and then I competed eight times.
Eight times. That's quite a bit of competition. So
yeah.
So I want to spend a few minutes here talking about when Jason was the athlete. You know, one of the things I talk to anyone who's competed in this sport before, or really in any sport, we work with some professional football players, baseball players, track athletes, Olympic weightlifters. And I have this idea that people kind of need to have some level of selfishness to be great at anything. And I'm interested in your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And you got to be aware of that, right? You have to have self awareness on, you know, how selfish are you being and what impact are you having on your family? And I think that's one of the reasons why I've created this concept of AMRAP mentality, which is obviously the book that we put out, which is called As Many Reps as Possible. But the idea is just to be present and focused on whatever you're doing. And I think for a long time, you know, I struggled with being one foot in, one foot out of everything I was doing, instead of just kind of being all in with the family, all in with the business, et cetera. And it is tough. It's tough. It's tough when you're competing because, you know, you're so engulfed in this idea of winning. You're so ingrained in training and getting after it. And, you know, that makes it really challenging when you have other priorities in your life. And I think if you talk to any competitor, there is a level of selfishness that needs to be done to get to where you want to be. But I think it's really important to have these evaluations on, hey, is my selfishness for this particular avenue, you know, having long-term detrimental effects elsewhere? I think it's really important to have that check-in. And I think just that realization, having a partner that can hold you accountable, I think is really important. You know, my wife would have a lot of conversations with me and she would say, hey, look, you know, I'm getting to the end of my, you know, end of the road here. And I think that was really good for me because she allowed me to stay grounded, especially having two children and our business was growing. It was really important that I did those self-evaluations and I'm glad I did it before it became too bad.
Now, when you say she said she was getting to the end of the road here, you're talking about she was saying, I don't know if I can continue to do what I'm doing while you compete the way that you compete. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, what I mean is like, you know, there's a lot of stress on her. You know, I think a lot of times people don't realize that just because, you know, I might be the one competing and everybody, you know, I might get the glory and the whatever. She's the one that has to put up with me at home. She's the one that has to take care of the kids when I'm training those extra hours. She's the one who's sitting there watching me, you know, get my butt kicked in these workouts and has to deal with that. You know, and those things are stressful. And I think, you know, I needed, and I think I realized earlier on, but it's like, you know, I met her when I was 14. And so she was really the, you know, a huge guiding force in a lot of the success I had in the sport. But she was also one that held me accountable in the sense like, hey, look, I can only do this for so long because look at what you're giving up because of these hours of training. I think it was really good for me. So her and I had, you know, annual conversations about, hey, you know, are we ready to commit together for the season? But eventually it got to the point where, you know, I needed to switch gears and go team. And then when my daughter got sick, that was the easiest answer ever, which was, you know, I can no longer compete in CrossFit.
Was it I can no longer or I no longer want to?
I was both. Yeah, I mean, when Ava was diagnosed, it was I can no longer because I'm not going to have the time to train to win when I'm in the hospital with my daughter, right? So I cannot. Mm-hmm. Number two is I don't want to. Like, what kind of a man would I be? What kind of a father would I be if I'm spending 4 to 6 hours a day training instead of being there for all of her procedures? And that's not to mention the business we're trying to run too.
Right. So I'm curious about the kind of communication that you and your wife had when you were, you know, when you were going through this transition from, is it still something that we want me to do or not? What was that? Was that scheduled conversations? Were you asking on a regular basis, hey, how am I doing for you as a husband? How did that work?
Yeah. I mean, I think regular communication was critical. And then obviously after the games would happen, you know, for 3 years in a row, I competed on, you know, the Open, the regionals, the games, and then Team USA for 3 years back to back to back. So basically I went, you know, nonstop competing for pretty much 3 years straight from, you know, and then obviously before that I was still competing, of course. But I think, you know, it was 2012, 13, 14 those were tough years. And so after each Team USA event, I'd ask her, I'd be like, hey, you know, where are we at? Where's your head at? And she'd be like, well, you know, if you want to do it, I'm supportive. But then it got to like, well, hey, you know, let's give it one more year and let's reevaluate. And then it got to like, hey, look, this is your last year type of thing.
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there who probably deal with that kind of a situation, but aren't willing to be vulnerable enough with their spouse to have the conversation and make the decision together. Was it difficult for you to let your wife kind of have a place at the table in what you would do with your fulfillment, basically?
No, because I think it's just about, you know, being a grown-up, right? Being an adult. And, you know, Ashley and I did a podcast the other day together, and this gentleman messaged me saying how much it impacted him because he's deep into the world of karate. He has two kids. He didn't realize how selfish he was being and how, you know, what long-term effects it's going to have on your relationship and your children. So for me, it's like, you know, for me, I got into CrossFit because I loved to compete. I loved training. I didn't get into it for the money. I didn't get into it for the fame. And we started a business. And so my wife is very supportive on the business because she knows that's what's going to provide for our children and for her for the future. That's what's going to send our kids to college. But the games were something I did for me. But once it got to the point where by training so much, it caused resentment or it impacted my ability to be with my children, it just got to the point where I had to take ownership and recognize that there's more important things in life than me focusing on this thing over here because I had too many other things I wanted to do over here.
Right. And I know in your AMRAP mentality, and we'll get as much into that as we possibly can because I think it's great. I've heard you talk about it on multiple occasions. There's the idea of the check-in, you know, the idea of making sure that you're doing what you want to be doing so that when you're doing it, you can do it to its absolute maximum potential. Did you have, besides your conversations with Ashley, did you have a situation where you were like, okay, I'm going to audit myself right now. Do I want to keep doing this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think a lot of that just comes to self-reflection, you know, like every night I'm just like, hey, how did I do today as a business owner, as a family man, and as, you know, an athlete or to maintain my fitness. And I think if you have these micro check-ins, then I'm not going to wake up one day, 10 years from now and be astonished by the fact that I was a terrible father, you know, like, because I have a daily reflection on how are we doing? And I could always write, you know, I could always write the process, if that makes sense.
Sure. And so, I mean, you've transitioned from being an athlete to now being a business owner. You're a professional business owner. You know, there's people who open a gym and they work out and they own a gym and that's what they do. But then there's professional business owners. I feel like it's a competition on a different level with yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, I started our business back in 2008 and I've always had the idea of winning in business and providing for my family and providing for our coaches. So that's been a staple for years. But since I stopped competing, it's been even more heightened because I have a lot more, just a lot of energy going directly into it.
So how do you have the same self audit in business that you had in sport? Because I think there's a people who are in business who are owning a gym, who are coaching in a gym, they can find themselves in the, I can always do more, right? When you're working out, it's like, eventually you can't, you're just shot. You're hurting or you're tired or whatever the case might be. You've done all your work for the day. There's always something else you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, that's the balance piece. I think it's prioritizing. I think it's being focused when you're doing something. Like if I'm doing this with you, I'm doing this with you. If I'm working, I'm working. If I'm working out, I'm working out. It is being super focused, super driven, and just attacking those goals. I think that's the key. It's not necessarily how much time you're spending in your business. It's how calculated you're being, how strategic you're being, and how much effort you're putting in when you're actually working.
Can you put something tangible to that? Would you mind taking people through what a day with Jason Kalip is like on the schedule?
Okay. Like take, for example, today. I had breakfast with the kids, like not breakfast, but like hung out with the kids. They went to school. My wife and I had a meeting with a gentleman named Eric Reese from a philanthropic organization that we do a lot of fundraising for. So we had breakfast with him. I then shot over to the office. I'm here now upstairs. I got in communication about certain things we had to touch base on. I'm now on the phone with you. As soon as I'm off the phone with you, I'm going to do a quick 10, 15 minute AMRAP. I'm then going to change and get ready for a presentation at a company called Signified at 12 o'clock. As soon as I'm done with that, I'm then going to finish up. I have a call about an hour later. Then I'm going to go stuff joy jars for a philanthropic thing. After that, again, I got another business call. Then I'm going to have family time dinner. Then after that, I'm either going to go to jujitsu or I'll be back on emails. So I segment the day, very structured. And there's a lot of business and a lot of, you know, some fitness, a lot of business and some family that takes place. And then during the weekend, it shifts.
So it's almost all family on the weekend. Is that what you mean by that?
It depends. Like, for example, you know, next week I'm traveling for 4 days for a summit, for like a mastermind summit. And so I want to try and get in some time with the family this weekend. Whereas the following weekend, I'm going to Cookeville, Tennessee. I'll be with the family. And then And then I'm going to New York, so I won't be with them. Then I'm going to Asia for a new opening we have, so I won't be with them. So it's just kind of finding that balance and that flow when I can.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like your wife is very involved in your business. Is that something that you recommend for everybody? Or is that something that you think is unique about the way that you and your wife have a relationship?
She's involved in the sense like she holds me accountable, but she's not involved in the day-to-day operations.
Got it.
She mainly focuses on her event called Ava's Kitchen, which is an annual event that she does for fundraising. And so she really focuses on philanthropic efforts. And I focus more on the, you know, business side.
Got it. Now, when you guys first started, because I think one of the things that I see a lot in, especially young entrepreneurs who are married, is it's, I want to go for this business. It's got to grow. It's not just for me. It's for us. But the spouse doesn't necessarily recognize that or doesn't believe that or isn't interested in that. How do you guys communicate about the business? Is it different than the way you communicated about your working out life?
I mean, it's similar, right? You know, her and I had a conversation about a year ago. I sat her down, we had a drink, and I was like, listen, we have a good life. We have a beautiful house. We have two children. Our business is successful. We make a fair living. But I don't know if I'm going to be happy with that because I'm always going to ask myself 40, 50 years from now, did I really reach my potential, right? Did our business reach its potential, or was there more in the tank and we didn't accomplish what we could have? And I said to her, I was like, where's your head at? Do you want to see what we're capable of? If so, it means this, but it also means all of these other things. And she's like, look, you know, you've always been a guy who you want to see what you're capable of. You got to do that in the sport of CrossFit. And then it naturally came to an ending, especially with Ava getting sick. Let's go after it for the business. But what that was just good communication. If your partner's on the same page, it's not good for you and it's not good for the business, because if you're going home and you're not happy at home, you're not going to be happy at the workplace.
And did you guys always communicate like that, or was that something that you were taught?
I mean, I think we've always communicated pretty well. I mean, her dad's a businessman. I think she just grew up around business. But I just think I overly communicate, because I've just found that in business and everything, the more you communicate, the better things end up being, especially when Ava got sick. You know, it was a constant time for us to really learn how to communicate well with each other, even more so than we did before.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Active Life Podcast. Just a quick second to remind you here that we have so many resources available for you guys at activeliferx.com/quick-links. I'll make sure that's in the show notes, but we have workshops, we have online coaching programs that are remote learning. You can do it from anywhere in the world. We have more podcasts just like this one. We have our YouTube channel. We have programs that are templated up online. We are looking to change the world, and we need your help doing it. If you want to get out of pain without going to the doctor or missing the gym, we want to help you. Head to activeliferx.com/quick-links. I will put that in the show notes to check out all of the things that we have to offer. That's it. I'll get you right back to the show right now. What, if any, advice then do you have for people out there who it doesn't come naturally to? Because there are people out there who are struggling with their inner self where, hey, I want to be a great athlete because that's something that I have inside of me, for example, or I want to grow this business because I'm competitive and I want to see where I can take this. But their spouse is like, yeah, but I value quality time with you and I don't get any of that. So
yeah, I think ultimately it's just like everything in life. You got to be open to having tough conversations. And if you're not ready for it, then shame on you for complaining, right? Because just like in business, if you have somebody that's not doing their job, you need to have a good conversation with them. Well, in family, you need to make sure you're having these tough conversations like, hey, Ashley, how am I doing? What can I do better? Or, hey, these are the things I've recognized from you. How do we collaborate so we could, you know, move forward? Because if your relationship isn't tight and your kids' relationship isn't tight and then your business relationship isn't tight, it's got to start from the home base and then it spreads out. And tough conversations is where it's at. I mean, I've had, you know, at the age of 32, I've had more adult conversations than most people because of Ava getting leukemia. That caused a lot of adult conversations, but it's good because we had to have them, and you know, we prevailed because of it.
I think that, I mean, it's always interesting to me when something that could potentially be a negative in somebody's life becomes something that is a positive for them. In the way of there's a shining light here. We're better communicators. We're a better family. We're closer knit. Everything is in line. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, I have a few mutual friends with you, right? Rich is a friend of mine. Hinshaw is a friend of mine. And I've always heard good things about you. But the one thing for me that kind of really perked me up, and I was like, you know what? I think it would be cool to talk to Jason and see where he's at in his life and what kind of advice he can give to others, was I've heard you talk about that schedule. I think it might have been on Ferris's podcast where you talked about, like, through the day, what your day is like. And I have a friend who's here in New York. I don't know if you remember him or not, but his name is Rob Walber, and he owns a gym called CrossFit Flushing. And Rob sent you a message. I think they might be an NC Collective gym. And they sent you a message about, like, hey, how would you do this, blah, 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 back and forth about a few things. And you invited him out.
And he, oh, yeah, Rob. Yeah. Rob and his wife. Yeah,
Veronica. And yeah. And he posted, he's like, he's sitting in a Jeep Wrangler with you and you guys are just shooting the shit for a day. And I thought that was so admirable that you would just put your time, like, you're a busy guy. You have a busy schedule. You have things that you want to accomplish that are on your plate. And you put time aside for a guy who's in New York you've never met before to come out and learn from you.
Yeah. I mean, we do that kind of stuff. Like yesterday, I had a couple of gym owners here and they reached out to me and said, hey, I want to come spend some time. I want to learn. I said, great. You know, go on Amazon, go buy 30 of the new book I release. All proceeds go to charity. And I will sit down. And I will sit down with you for hours, right? All that means is, like, hey, you put some skin in the game. I'm going to let you know I'm not trying to make any money on it. I'm going to donate this money, but I want you to have skin in the game. Then you come out and I'll dive deep. And, you know, a lot of the times what it really comes down to is gym owners need to recognize that we chose to go into business and there's a lot of risk and liability. And we have a responsibility to treat it like a business. It's not a hobby. It's not a game, right? There's real money, real lives at stake. And the more that I can help elevate the game and rise the tides in the business space of CrossFit and gyms around, I mean, the better off it is. You know, nothing makes me feel better than when I get someone who says, hey, look, you really impacted my life because you taught me how to prioritize an AMRAP mentality of this, or, hey, you just made our business more money, which provided for our family, which provided for our coaches, and you created sustainability. If I could do that for as many people as possible, then I will one day die a happy man.
So when people come out, I don't want this to become a thing where everybody who hears this just starts sending you messages. Hey, I want to come out and follow you around for the day. But are they just kind of following you and learning what you're doing throughout the day through osmosis? Or is it a, hey, let's sit down and go through a curriculum here?
A little bit of both, and depends on, you know, where my head is at, what mood I'm in, but, like, it depends what the vibe I'm getting. If I feel like these owners have a lot of work to do, I'll just give them some foundational work and let them go. Mm-hmm. But if I feel like they're already at a level where I could really enhance their level, then I'll take them around. Because the thing is, just in the Bay Area alone, we have, I don't know, 12 locations. If I take them, all of them, and dive deep, it's going to blow their minds. And it's like me trying to teach somebody a very complex snatch on their first day of CrossFit. Instead, I just got to teach them the foundation and we'll build off that. So it just depends on who they are, what their background is, and what their, you know, how they resonate with the information.
So do you have, as part of the NorCal Collective, I know that I'm semi-familiar with it, but I would love for you to give me more information about it. Is part of that you deep diving with these coaches and not necessarily in person, but actually coaching them on how to run their businesses?
It's a little bit of business. It's mainly right now session plans and programming. We put out 4 different session plans, 4 different programming. You know, I believe we're putting out the best in the business because, you know, we have 20 locations, 5,000 members utilizing our programming that we own and operate, right? Not to mention all the other gyms. So we're getting a lot of feedback, right? And we have, you know, a 30-minute class, a 45-minute class, a 60-minute class, and a compete class. And with the increased duration of these classes, it allows our coaches to coach more. So it allows for more complexity. It allows for, in a 30-minute class, maybe you just do a row wall ball workout. In a 45, you might incorporate a foundational strength lift. And then in the 60, you might incorporate, you know, complex gymnastics and weightlifting. And so right now we put that out on our app. There's daily videos. But we also, you know, sprinkle in some business stuff. In the future, I'd like to do a little bit more. It's just hard to scale business stuff because every situation is so unique. But the session plans and programming that we use, proven effective, we try and share with other gyms.
So do you do that on a delay? Is it something where, like, for example, your gyms are doing this programming September 1st through October 1st, and then you're releasing it to the general public on October 1st?
No, we release it as we do it. So right now you figure there's probably, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people doing our programming on a daily basis. And when they're doing it, we test the workouts. We do all this stuff ahead of time. But the thing about it is our laboratory is right here. Like I'm at our laboratory right now of one of our locations. You know, if you're putting out session plans and programming to gym owners and you're not in a gym on a daily basis, that's tough. And so for us, we're not just in one gym. We're in multiple gyms receiving constant feedback, which is why I think we're putting out a good product. And we test and we have a staff that helps us ahead of time.
Now, can you talk to me a little bit about taking feedback? Because I find that to be one of the most difficult things for a lot of people to do is, hey, I didn't like this. And then people will take it as a personal attack, like it's on them.
Well, I learned a long time ago that some of is not the sum of, like meaning some are some people not happy with the programming, or is the sum of the people not happy? And I think sometimes it's a vocal minority that gets in front. And so I think member surveys are really important because they get the sum of, right? The whole group. If we're seeing, you know, a trend, that's a problem. But if we're seeing like one or two or three, maybe that's just, you know, an anomaly, right? And so for us, it's constantly getting member feedback through anonymous surveys. I think are really important. And then obviously just checking in with people on a daily basis.
And how do you take that feedback, right? So you're the person who all the information is coming back to. You're not going to make a knee-jerk reaction on everything that people ask for.
No, I mean, frankly, by the time the information gets to me, it's already been vetted a lot of times. And so there's no like jerk reactions anymore. When we first started the business, we were a lot more reactive. Now we're trying to be more proactive in our approach. And so I think, yeah. I mean, that's one of the big lessons I've learned in business is that, you know, when you get this feedback, take some time, marinate on it, and then make a decision. But I think when you're just instantly trying to make, oftentimes you don't think it through enough. That's a problem.
You mentioned earlier that you're going to a mastermind coming up for to expand your business mind, I imagine. So go on.
Yeah. I'm going to this event in Utah. I was invited by some friends. And so it's my first one I've done. I'm really curious about it, but I think you need to surround yourself with people who want to raise the bar.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. So your new book that's coming out is AMRAP mentality, right? It's the idea of as many reps as possible. And you're basically taking a term that is used in CrossFit for how people work out. You know, we're going to give you 20 minutes, do as many reps as you can. And you're applying it to everything in people's lives. Can you explain a little bit about what the AMRAP mentality is?
Yeah, I mean, the AMRAP mentality was really developed as a necessity. You know, as our business was growing, as competition got more fierce, as I had more, two children and a wife I wanted to keep, I needed to be present, focused, and work hard in my particular area. And I thought about it. I'm like, I'm never more present and focused than I am on a 15, 20 minute AMRAP. I'm not answering my phone. I'm not distracted. I'm only thinking about that. So imagine if I took that philosophy, that clarity, that focus, and I took it to every area. And that's what it's all about. As many reps as possible, no matter what you're doing, all the time, you're doing it.
Can you give me an example of that in a real world scenario?
Yeah. So like right now I'm AMRAPing with you. I'm not doing anything else, right? I'm present. I'm focused with you. As soon as I'm done with you, I'm going to go, run inside. I'm going to do a 15-minute workout. And I'm not going to think about anything else. After I'm off the phone with you, I'm not going to think about this conversation anymore. It's been awesome. You're great. But once I'm done, I'm done. while I'm in it, I'm focused. But afterwards, if it was good, bad, or indifferent, I mean, obviously, you want to be good. But point being is that I'm not dwelling on the past, and I'm not thinking about necessarily the future. I'm trying to be present. Now, big picture goals, of course, is different. But when I get into my workout, that's the same thing. I'm in the workout. After I'm done with the workout, it's done. If it was bad, fix it tomorrow. No big deal. And then after that, I'm going to go give a presentation at a company. While I'm giving that presentation, I'm present, I'm focused, and I'm AMRAPing with them. I'm trying to give as much value as I can while I'm doing it. And then if I'm answering emails, boom, I'm setting a clock and I'm getting after it. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not answering my phone. I'm not scrolling social media. I'm just doing that. And I found that with this mentality, I get so much more work done Because oftentimes you see people who get like 10 minutes into something, get distracted. By the time they refocus, they're already 10, 20 minutes in again.
Yeah, so that's definitely true. So how do you write a whole book about that? You know, it's obviously something that's very important to you, but it sounds like, first of all, you're someone who clearly to me can get straight to the point. You know exactly what you're thinking about. You know exactly how to express it. And there's no need for a lot of fluff around it. So how do you write an entire book about what you just said very succinctly in under a minute?
So the book's not long. It's like 120 pages. And it's just stories of my life, right? How I went from a, you know, and it's also a story about how when my daughter was diagnosed, it changed my whole perspective on why we work hard, right? And it's about hard work. It's about dedication. It's about focus. And it brings in stories about how I've, you know, had bad business ventures where I've, you know, invested in things I didn't know anything about, how I started a clothing company with a group of friends and it failed and why did it fail, right? And then, you know, it just has different stories from different areas about mentors that I've developed and what they taught me. And it's a short, effective read was the goal. There's nothing in there that should be fluffy. When you read it, you should look at it and be like, that every page had an impact. And this guy wasn't just trying to increase the length of the book to make more money. Because all proceeds from pre-sales go to charity anyways. So my focus was make an impact people's lives.
I love it. So can you go into that a little bit? Do you mind talking about how why your perspective on why we work hard changed when your daughter got diagnosed?
Well, I mean, I think for years, you know, growing up, you want a nice watch, nice car, nice house. And I think those things are obviously, you know, cool and you need them. And early on, you know, I was motivated. My wife really wanted a house and I really wanted to provide that for her. But when Ava got sick, it just taught me that, you know, when life is good, keep crushing it hard because you never know when life's going to throw you a curveball and you need to kind of build a hedge. You know, if you look at it in terms of CrossFit, we're trying to build a hedge against sickness by working towards fitness. Same thing applies in real life towards the bank. We're trying to build that hedge of the piggy bank because you never know when life's going to throw you a curveball and you might need to, you know, take care of your family, take care of your daughter. You might not be able to work for a month. You know, if you're a gym owner right now and something happened in your life, is your business set up for success where you could leave for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks and go handle business? And if it's not, then work towards that, right? But don't work towards that because you're trying to buy a nicer car. Work towards that because it gives you some nice peace of mind. And that's what I learned when Ava got sick, is that there was a lot of things that were very stressful. But one thing that wasn't was the financial side.
Mm-hmm. Which for a lot of people is the most stressful.
Oh, dude. 100%. Which is why my wife and I will be forever dedicated to raising money and awareness for pediatric cancer, for sure.
Well, so is that the foundation that you were talking about that your wife runs?
Yeah, so she runs an event called Ava's Kitchen, which is a very high-end event with our good friends, Chef Michael Mina and some other friends. But then we partner with an organization called NIGU, Never Ever Give Up, NIGU.org. And we basically have a fund within their fund. So they hold us accountable. We hold them accountable. It's a great synergy. And then we help families, a lot of families.
That's cool. And do you get where is your level of fulfillment on doing something like that as opposed to competing at the highest level in CrossFit?
I think it's just another level of fulfillment. I don't need anybody to pat me on the back. I don't need fame or glory for helping people. I just want to do what's right because I've seen a lot of really bad stuff. And if I could help out, just put a smile on a kid's face or help a family pay a bill or give them a memory, then that's all that matters to me. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're very blessed that our daughter had a treatable form of leukemia. There's many that aren't. And I believe that we have a duty to use this microphone that we've been given to help as many people as possible. And I won't stop until we do the best we can.
I love that. I'm speaking of the best that you can, I've seen the way that you talk about your daughter on social media and the way that you actually interact with her on social media. And it's inspiring. The most recent thing that I saw was that she ran the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run with you. And that it took you guys about 4 hours to do a 5K.
Run is not right. We crawled, slid, hiked. I mean, this thing was tough. It was 5 miles. It ended up being, they said it was a 5K, but it was more than that. And yeah, it took us 4 miles, but or 4 hours, but it was a huge accomplishment for her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a very smart and she's very inspiring. And yeah, could learn a lot from her.
Well, and that's what I was just going to ask you is I find it really important to, I have daughters as well. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 1-year-and-3-month-old daughter, and another one on the way. So
there you go.
Yeah. So I see that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, he's doing the right thing as far as, not that I'm the judge, right? But it seems like he's doing the right thing by his kid. And I learn from my daughter every day by accident and on purpose, but what do you learn from your daughter saying, I want to do this with you, daddy. And then spending 4 hours on a 5-mile run that probably would have taken you an hour by yourself.
Oh yeah. You know, just resilience and, just determination. And it's a lot of things, right? I mean, I've seen her get put to sleep 27 times. I've seen her go through some really, really, really bad stuff. Right. But this was an example where, you know, it's funny the way kids look at you on your computer and they can't articulate hard work, but kids look at you working out or doing something physical with them and they could articulate in their head how this equates to hard work. And so bringing the kids in the gym, having my wife work out with them in the garage is super important to us because I want to make sure they see hard work from a young age is the only way that long-term you can accomplish what you want to do, whatever that may be. Maybe she wants to be a nurse. Maybe she wants to be whatever. But you got to put in the work and dedicate yourself to something. And I don't care what she ever does, as long as she becomes an expert at whatever she wants to do, right? She could be a hairdresser or a barista. Doesn't matter to me. As long as she takes the time to work hard. And I think we're instilling that at a young age. I'm already seeing it in her that she's busting her butt. And it's fun to watch. I mean, obviously, we very much so helped her and we encourage her. We tell her how much she inspires us because she does. But I think it's cool at a young age that she's starting to put two and two together. That if you want the honor at the end of finishing something, if you want the accomplishment, you got to put in the 4 hours of hard work to get to that point, to feel that sense of joy of all that hard work you did. So it was a very cool day.
That is really cool. And are you able to carry that kind of stuff out on purpose with her? Can you go back to the idea of, remember when we did this on the trail run? This is just like that, but it's in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, especially at her age, you know, she's 7 years old, and so she's starting to get it now. And yeah, I mean, she's a smart girl. So, you know, my 4-year-old son is a little bit different, but with the 7-year-old, we're definitely trying to instill in her certain things, and I think she's picking up on it. And she has a life experience that many people don't. You know, I mean, she was diagnosed right before she turned 5. And so, I mean, she will remember those memories, and that's okay. It's good. It's going to make her a stronger person in the future for it. And she overcame a really big obstacle. And, you know, looking at that, I mean, what can't she do now? You know?
Right. And she's full remission now, right?
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we have 4 more years and then she'll be considered cured. And so, yeah, we're just ticking away at the months.
Yeah, I bet. That's probably marked down on the calendar.
Yeah.
Did someone instill this stuff in you, or is this stuff that you just kind of picked up along the way? Because you strike me as an extremely hard worker with a very clear objective.
Picked up along the way. There's a little bit of that in the book explaining how mentors have impacted me. But I mean, I'm just fired up. You know, I found something that I was good at and passionate about at a young age, and I've stayed committed to it. I've had one job, one girlfriend, that's it. Just very focused on one thing. And if I can give any advice to like a 21-year-old coming out of college, I'd say, hey, find something you're passionate about, find something you're good at, and become really, really great at it. Not just good, but great in whatever that is. Because no matter what happens in your life, someone will be willing to pay you for your skills at that particular thing because you're so good at it.
Now, just to piggyback off of that, I hear that kind of stuff all the time. And I want to make sure that only because I follow the way that you do your business, and I want to make sure you have the opportunity to say this to somebody. Maybe you disagree, but I find that a lot of people right now, especially in CrossFit, are focused on just having a great gym. Just be great. Just be great. But they don't look 360 at what great means. It means you have to market yourself well. It means you have to have systems within the gym. It means that you need to have margins on what you're selling. All of those things go into being great. It's not just a great class.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing, right? Is that what do you want to be great at? So if you're going to say, okay, I want to be a great coach. Okay. then all that it's about is administering a great class. Now, what is, if you're the best coach in the world, where is that ceiling financially? You need to say, okay, well, does this align with my life goals, right? Do I want to only be able to make money when I'm coaching, because that's ultimately what I'm trying to invest in? And if that's the case, that's fine, right? But if you want to be great as a gym owner, now that's a totally different subject. And all of a sudden you need to start educating yourself on what it means to be a business owner. And that's not just being a coach. That means you need to understand financials. It means you need to understand marketing and sales. And if you don't understand it, go out there and find someone who's great at that and then learn from them. So if you want to be a great business owner, it combines many different things. If you want to be a great coach, that's a singular focus and it requires a lot of dedication, but it's different from being a business owner. Not better, not worse, just different.
Yeah, thank you for expanding on that. I feel frustrated for people who are frustrated where they're at because they're just focused on being a great coach when they own the gym and the gym isn't growing.
Well, yeah, that's because they chose to be a gym owner, not a coach, right? And a lot of them need to take that self-realization and evaluate, you know, as a business owner, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And it's not a hobby. It's a business. And if you're stuck at 120 members, like most gyms are, you have to do some reevaluation, figure it out, and grow, because you have an obligation to your family to do so.
Yeah, and to your staff.
And your staff and your members.
I was going to say, and to your members. If you don't have enough members to put the right equipment in there to have the right kind of classes to keep the place clean, then you shouldn't be open.
That's right.
Jason, I really appreciate the time that you gave us today, and you can't get it back. It's the most valuable investment in the world. Is there any parting words that you'd like to leave on people so that they can help themselves more?
Obviously, check out As Many Reps as Possible on Amazon. Proceeds from pre-sales go to Nigu, which is really cool. But I would just say, you know, I think tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this podcast, everybody has a chance after they're done with this to look at the rest of the day, look at tomorrow, look at the next week in a different fashion, right? And you can either look at each thing that comes your way as a negative, right? Or you can try and find some positive light in different things. And I think it's important to recognize that's your choice and your choice only, right? Is that something's going to come your way. You're going to get stuck at a red light, right? It is what it is, right? But you can recognize it in the grand scheme of things, things could be much worse. And I think that in life, if you really focus on the positive things you have going on, it just makes your day better. And I think it's like looking through the day with a pair of glasses and say sunglasses, just looking at each thing as things could always be worse, because I've seen a lot of crappy crap. You could always find something good that's going on. That's what I would focus on for the next week, is sitting there and thinking to yourself, hey, this is going wrong, but guess what? I have a healthy kid at home. I have a house to live in. I have all these great things. Let me be appreciative for this and then work on this. First, letting this just impact the rest of your life, because one negative thing and everything else is good.
I love it. Thank you. Jason, man, get to your 15-minute AMRAP workout and then get to those meetings you had the rest of the day. This was valuable time spent, and I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. For anybody listening, want to know more, Instagram is probably the best place to find me, Jason Klipa, KHALIPA, and jasonklipa.com.
Perfect. I'll send them there. It'll all be in the show notes.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, bye.
That's a wrap for another Active Life podcast, guys. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you're going to wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and a review. We want to grow this thing. We want to change the world. It's not about movement. It is a movement. Please help us out with that. Remember, until next time, turn pro.